Secret societies. If you know anything about them, check in with us as well. Questions with Robert Howells when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Robert Howells with us. So, Robert, as we look towards the future, and we know the globalists, those who want the one world government, the new world order, they're pushing and doing their things. Can we win as individuals? Can we pull this off?
I think we can. We were at a very interesting point in history because countercultures always existed. Groups have always existed to fight against that kind of corrupt power. But we have the internet. We have this disruptive technology. And that's opened us up to lots of alternative information. So we're no longer just getting Fox News or, you know, the newspapers that we used to get as our source of information. So the first thing is, yeah, the more you know, the less of this nonsense you'd put up with and the less you'd support people if you understood what their aims were. So if you can work out what people's aims seem to be and whether or not they're in service of people or in service of themselves, then you can start to make judgments on that. And I think, yeah, because we are sliding towards a state kind of that's worse than communist Russia, where they're watching everything you do. They're tracking your movements. They're reading everything you post. They're doing this electronically. You haven't got people sitting there.
Yep. Are they doing this in Britain too, Robert?
Yes, they are. Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a department attached to MI6 that is actually in cohorts with the US because the NSA is not actually allowed to, is not allowed to spy on Americans. The British do it for them and then get the information.
Is Moneypenny responsible for that?
Yeah. Yes. they kind of touch on it in the Bond films, actually, when they start doing, they did that thing about the global means to watch everything. They already have that, yeah. The Five Eyes idea. So, and it's all, because if it was just for terrorism or criminals, fine. But they've already started using it. There are accounts of people like Laura Poitras being stopped coming through US Customs because she's on the watch list. She's a journalist. She's a documentary maker. She's not a terrorist or a criminal. So the potential for governments to abuse this information and knowledge, you could post something against Hillary Clinton on Facebook and then have the police knock on your door. You know, you run the risk of going down that George Orwell 1984 complete surveillance. As where they know and watch everything. But also, the internet is a tool for the opposite, which is that there are groups forming, there are societies forming. There's things like Bitcoin, which isn't mature yet, but it's an alternative currency that would get away from the power of the banks.
Right. Oh, but that's dangerous if it's all digital. My gosh.
Yes.
I like to hold my money sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, the problem is the banks, banks is a completely rigged game. It's a completely fraudulent game. You know, if our government borrows £100, they have to pay £10 interest on that.
Yeah.
So that £100 is invented, and in order to get the £10 interest, you have to create the £10 interest as well.
Right. Well, of course, now in this country, there is no interest right now because the Federal Reserve has just kept the lid on it. I don't know how long they're going to be able to hold that like that, though.
Yes. But it's all, you know, most of the money in the world is debt. Something like 90% of the world's money is debt. It's incredible, and so the banks really have control. It's very hard for people to get organized and to fight that. But if you can find, support WikiLeaks, support Anonymous, try and be anonymous in yourself, even if you've not done anything yet. If you ever do something in the future, they will just trawl through your history looking for something to pull you up on.
Yeah. Have you seen any effect from Brexit yet?
Markets have dropped like a brick.
Oh, they have. Wow.
I was quite shocked by Brexit. I thought it was a really... it was linked to that kind of unhealthy nationalism, and there was an underlying kind of racism because of it's causing unemployment issues over here, that people are allowed to travel from other European countries to work here. I don't have a problem with that, and I think it's a tiny thing, but I do think the European Union got too political. If they just stayed as a kind of trading bloc and allowed countries to set up their own laws but cut all the kind of inter-country taxes and stuff like that on trade, it would have worked, but it ha- has become a really unwieldy and expensive political thing. However, I'd have rather stayed in Europe. I think it would have been better. The UK will be all right because the currency is in London and the financial sector is kind of the centre of business in Europe, so that will keep it afloat. But the only way we'd really survive is if we went back to manufacturing, and that's not likely to happen.
All right,
so I think we are going to struggle. I was against it. Most of the politicians were against it, and it happened because the people had had enough. But then the news, all our news is just full up of immigration. You know, not real issues. They're not talking about the money being taken out of hospitals or how the healthcare is being moved into the private sector. They're just talking about immigration all the time, which is a trivial thing compared to the rest of politics.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls here for you, Robert.
Okay.
They're lining up for the rest of this hour, which will go by quickly. We will go to Carol in North Carolina, east of the Rockies, to get things started. Carol, go ahead.
Thanks, George.
Sure.
I have three hypotheses I'd like to run by Robert related to current events going on in this
glut. All right. Let's do them one at a time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Carol.
First of all, you were talking about why they're having all these wars, you know, getting rid of those dictators over in the Middle East, you know, like in Afghanistan and Syria and all so forth. Well, if you're part of the global comptrollers and you want to control the world and its resources, you can't leave dictators in individual countries, because then you've got one man with a lot of power because he controls all the people in his country. That's number one. And so you do what is currently being done in this country during the election. You know, you have a person like Trump appearing to run, but really selected by the global people and Hillary people to suck up the air of the media, to distract from the media needing to focus on Hillary's negative points and to put their... And to put their person in place, assuming she is the world comptroller's, you know, person. And then the third
In Hillary, you've got a terrible, potentially a terrible leader who's being made to look like the better of two evils. When in any other election, nobody would ever have voted for Hillary. It's just the other person is so extreme and so ridiculous that you know... Honestly, as a nation, if you could, just all vote green. Vote something else. Just don't vote for either of them. They're both pretty appalling as far as I can see. Sorry, continue.
She does seem to add credibility to the existence of the reptilian
race.
Anyway, and the number three, you know, you're saying that the Internet, you know, is a good thing now and that's given us a voice and so forth, but didn't... I thought Obama gave over that control to Russia and China. So
that's the ICANN, the Internet Registration Service. It doesn't give them any control. It was never America's to begin with. It's just America wouldn't share it. So it was already a worldwide, it belonged to a conglomerate, the control of the Internet. So it should never have been in America's hands. And that in itself is quite a dangerous thing as well. I'm not keen on China and Russia.
I wonder, Robert, where somewhere on this planet the Internet's major brain is. You know, where is it? What building is it?
The fact is, it's a distributed network. So you have the cloud and you have servers in every country. So, and what they found out in the Arab Spring was countries, you know, the leader of Egypt or that, would shut down what they thought was the Internet in their country by making all the local ISPs switch off. And then Anonymous would come along and give people internet access by routing them out of the country. So you can actually prevent, there are ways around that kind of censorship, which is one of the reasons the internet has got some future, is because nobody singularly controls it.
You can't blow up one place somewhere in some country and shut it all down.
No, you can reroute to a server in Amsterdam or in Belarus or in Australia. You know, you can bounce it off a satellite if you need to. You can bounce it off other people's mobiles. There was a thing they tried in Africa where you could use a mobile as a server to connect the nearest mobile. So you could be in the middle of the desert And if there were 10 mobiles between you and an internet provider, you could bounce through them if they were switched on and share the carrier and get access to the internet. So that's one of the things about the robustness of the internet as a medium that we've never had before, is it's not state-controlled. The only one that is I think North Korea built its own internet that isn't plugged into any other internet, its own phone network, basically. So it doesn't share it with the outside world. And I think it's got 400 websites and very few people are allowed to access it. So that is a completely state-owned internet. But even then, anyone who gets hold of a mobile phone will be able to pick up the internet from South Korea.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Steve is in Pennsylvania now. Steve, go ahead. You're on with Robert Hollings.
George, good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Robert, I hope you enjoyed your trip to your conference there.
Yeah, it all went well.
Great, great. And my question for Robert. I'd like to get your view on the Bilderberg Society and Clinton's involvement. I understand that she sent a representative, apparently I presume that you would...
I'm sure she did. The Bilderbergs, what do you think of that, Robert?
Yeah, they're one of the groups.
They're part of it. They're part of it, aren't they?
They appeared after World War II. I think they've got specific roles. So each of those groups had a specific role. They're one of the ones basically moving towards globalization. And, yeah, there is this problem of what are they actually deciding behind closed doors. Because there's nothing to stop these world leaders and politicians getting together and saying, you know, we're going to create a civil war in Indonesia, destabilize the country, destabilize the government, and turn what was a self-sustainable country with its own bank and everything into another world bank outlet, and create massive debt, which is what actually happened there, bankrupted the country and left them in debt. And they did this by moving... You know, the governments of the world seem to collude to move a dictator into power there that they funded into power that caused great massacres. And then you could do that in a country, and then you could take it over by putting it into huge debt. And then it's beholden to you, and then you can force it to take out trade rules.
Squeeze it.
It's quite frightening that they're involved. Any politician should be embarrassed to be involved with the Bilderberg Group, you know, or Bohemian Grove. It should be a stain on their career because people shouldn't trust them.
Trilateral Commission, same thing?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. It's trying to bring the world together. But in order to do that, you're moving towards a one-world government, the idea of a one-world government.
CFR, Council on Foreign Relations?
Council on Foreign Relations, yep, that's another one.
They're everywhere, aren't they? And the same club members are in each organization, aren't they?
Yes. There'll be crossover in membership between them. And they're functioning like secret societies, but they're secret societies with people who are some of the most powerful people in the world. So that makes them very scary.
First-time caller, Jonathan in Montana. You're up with us. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, folks.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing?
Good, John.
Hey, you know, I've been listening to you, George, for many years, and I have never felt the need to call before. I wanted to let Robert know that his views on the Afghan war I've been preaching that to the choir since I came back. I'm an Afghanistan.
Oh, thank you for your service, by the way, Jonathan.
Well, and it was my privilege, and I'm very proud to have done that, but it was very clear to me, and I was there from 2011 to 2012, and I just can't understand why. I'm not sure I get the whole secret society Illuminati stuff or whatever, but I just wanted to you know, throw this out there that it seemed very clear to me that the Pentagon I should have figured out by about 2003 that Afghanistan was a lost cause.
Yeah. When you were there, Jonathan, did you say to yourself and to some of your other soldiers, what are we doing here?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that was a common a common topic of conversation. And you know, the thing is, I was there in 2011, where we took out bin Laden then, and that was kind of a rough time for us. But what I know is the year that I was there, we were spending $11 billion a month, and that's with a B,
a billion dollars a month.
And and it certainly wasn't worth that, but what's more important is it certainly wasn't worth the 30 or 40 servicemen that we, and women, that we were losing every month that I was there. So it was very clear to me. I'm a low man on the totem pole, but supposed to be a lot of people more intelligent than me at the Pentagon trying to figure this stuff out, and they didn't. But so I just want to throw that out, because I've been preaching this, you know, from my soapbox forever since I got back, and you nailed it, you know, Robert, you nailed it right on the head. It didn't make sense to me, but not to say that I'm not proud of my service, because I am.
Well, of course.
Thank you.
But yeah, so you just nailed that. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think at some point people have to realize that if the military, you know, our servicemen and women are being sacrificed for the aims of that we don't understand or that aren't really for the protection of our country, then you need to teach your children not to join the army. You need to say to them, don't go to war unless our country is being invaded. Because honestly, you can't fight terrorism with millions of pounds worth of bombs, billions of pounds worth of weapons. That's not how terrorism works. You know, it doesn't have a headquarters that you can just flatten and you've won. It's an ideology. You can't bomb an ideology.
Well,
we're sacrificing all these, our young people, our strongest, you know, our youth, to wars that are for no value other than to make people rich that are in the arms industry and the oil industry.
Robert, would you agree with this, that even if there was no real terrorism, that the New World Order would create it in order to keep things going?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of arguments to say that that's actually what they have done.
Yep.
Because if you do start to look at the origins of these people, and you know, even bin Laden, you look at how friendly the American government was with the bin Laden family, and remained.
Well, and with him specifically, my gosh,
yeah.
we armed them.
You know, 18 of those terrorists from 9/11 were Saudi Arabian, and yet Hillary Clinton was quite happy to take, what was it, 10 million a donation from the Saudis? So, no, you know.
I got to tell you something, Robert. You know your American politics. My gosh, you study it.
Not really, honestly, I haven't. I'm not. I wish I had more.
You're pretty good.
I think the rest of the world knows your politics because it has an impact.
It sure does. We're going to come back in just a moment, Robert. We're going to take final phone calls with you. Fast movie night. Robert Howell's our special guest as we talk about secret societies. One of his books called The Illuminati. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to our final segment here on Coast to Coast with Robert Howells. By the way, tomorrow night we'll have some spooky things and then open lines on a Friday night. You know what that is all about. Robert, as we get into this, I want to thank you for spending the night for us here in the United States. And what is this, your way, about 9:30, 10 o'clock down there?
Yeah, it's 9:30, yes.
So what?
Thank you very much.
What does the future hold for all of us on this planet, in your opinion, if we keep down the path we're going?
I think it's the 1% of population that own over 60% of the money in the world. It's so clear that how unfair that is, that if they do not start to share the wealth, if they do not start to reinvest in things in the poorest people and bring them up to some standard of living, then I think at some point it will resolve down to violence. I think we run the risk of anarchy and chaos. It concerns me because I don't think it needs to be that way. But as long as people like Edward Snowden are willing to stand up and say this is wrong, because you know, government is made up of thousands of people, and only a few of them hold the wealth and hold the power. And it's the people around them that have the power to either influence them or to stand up and speak out and say, this person's a criminal, this organization is behaving against the interests of the public. And that more of that needs to be leaked. More support WikiLeaks, support Anonymous. And if enough of that stuff comes out, we have a transparent government, then things will have to be fairer. Things will be more obvious. They won't be able to make these deals or do these actions or invade countries without our understanding of what's really going on. So I think we need more whistleblowers, and I think we need more transparency. And I think the news, the mainstream news, needs to be held account. You know, people should be saying, I'm not going to watch mainstream TV. They're already doing it. You know, they're listening to people like you. They're listening to, they're looking on the internet and looking for real footage of people. We had the Baghdad blogger. We have people who are on the ground in these wars who are writing what's really like. So, you know, people are going to have to start to move away from the mainstream TV and let go of it because it's not serving their needs.
They are not getting what we're talking about tonight. You don't get that on the mainstream media. They don't hear about that.
I know, and that shock that people are, you know, abandoning channels and going online instead. But people want the truth, that's all. We all deserve some honesty from our governments.
That's what they want. They want the truth. Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go ahead, Ed. You're up with us.
Yes, Mr. Harrelson, there are three questions I want to ask you real quick.
One at a time. Let's do one at a time, okay?
Are you familiar with a lady named Karen Hudes, Hudes? She worked with the federal banking system at the top end of the pyramid with the Jesuits and the Illuminati and the Masons. She claims they are not even human. They're from another world. They're centroids with elongated skulls. That's the first question.
No, I wasn't aware of her. There is a lot of theories around the elongated skulls that are found in Nazca. And there's this idea of interbreeding with aliens. And I don't hold up much on that, I have to say. I think, well, for one... Hey, this could go in all sorts of directions.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm not aware of her. I don't go for the aliens as part of humanity or the lizards and all that. A lot of that came from David Icke. He read a number of books.
One of your English types.
Yes.
Well, she's a whistleblower. I know I found her on YouTube, and supposedly she is a whistleblower.
Yes.
We got to check into
that. I'd have to look her up, but I do know a lot of the stuff about this idea of the lizards and the royal families and that. Mm-hmm. I know where that comes from, and I don't think it's correct. That's not good research. Well,
the next thing I wanted to
look at the source material and see if you can find evidence for yourself. You know, you don't have to believe me or her. You need to find your own way to some extent. Okay, next question.
I don't rely on mainstream news for anything, and that was going to be my next question. Why is it that mainstream news, political talk radio shows, if you just mention the word Bilderberger or Illuminati, they start foaming at the mouth? Why is that?
Yeah, why do we think that? I think there's a lot of it, it's very easy to discard conspiracy theory. You know, people look at the truthers from 9/11 and they say, oh, it's just nonsense. And they can discard the whole lot out of hand because you will get a few extremists or say, oh, it didn't happen, there wasn't a plan, and really kind of absurd ideas. But if you actually dig into it, you start to find that there's something not right in there. If you look up Building 7 on the World Trade Center, that something happened there, and that looks like a proper demolition. That does not look like a...
Yeah, that was a controlled demolition. It's too weird.
Yeah, it does not look like a concrete and steel building that only takes one day to burn down. If all your buildings burn down that fast, you should demolish everything because there's no building on earth made of steel and concrete that can burn.
Like that? Like that?
No, not in that amount of time. You can't demolish a 47-story building in one day.
Well, and it didn't get hit by anything.
Well, it got hit by debris from the
tower, debris, but the planes didn't hit it.
But when you look, I mean, there was footage of the collapse, and when you see the collapse, and you look at any footage of a controlled demolition of a large building, they're identical.
Oh, my God, yeah, it's like a Vegas taking down a casino implosion.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen it so many times before. You look at it and you think, okay,
that looks like a controlled demolition. Yeah. And then you start to look into it, and you think, all right, there is all this conspiratorial kind of lunacy around this that goes off in all directions, but underneath this, I don't think we know the truth of what really happened. No.
And you had a third question, Ed?
Yes.
Yes. Are they deliberately, the Illuminati, the global elites, are they deliberately trying to collapse the world's financial system so they can implement the one world monetary system, which I believe, now I'm a Christian man, and I look at it as the beast system. Are they deliberately trying to collapse the world economy so they can implement the digital monetary system?
Well, most of the bank's money is made from debt or from war. So if you've got an organization that controls your currency that gets rich from debt or war, what are the two things it's going to drive people into? And if you create wars, you create huge debt because you pay for the weapons to destroy a place and then you have to pay for the rebuilding of the place. It's completely unnecessary, but it makes banks an incredible amount of money. The only way to stop that is to bring in legislation that you cannot profiteer, that it is illegal to profiteer from wars, that you're not allowed to lend money for wars. Wars would stop if the banks didn't support them. There would have been no World War II if the banks didn't fund Hitler, because Germany was bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he mobilized 1 million people to war because he had funding. He had banks funding him.
How much money do they need, Robert? How much money do they need?
I know. It's part of that kind of money and power. If you've got it, to hang on to it and to do everything you can to protect it in the future. But it's become so extreme now. The difference in wealth is so extreme. It's like feudal times when you had a few lords who were absolutely rolling it and everyone else was a poor slave peasant. And they're basically turning us back into that kind of culture.
Let's go to Tom in Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hi, Tom. For another great coast to coast. Are you there?
Yeah.
It's been great, you know, listening to current events, but those secret societies that claim if you just, you know, keep writing them a yearly dues check, they will, for example, I did some research into like Rosicrucian and that type of thing. Robert, do you, I heard you say that you do not, you choose not to be a part of any of them, but is there anything in your view that what you've learned from your study that they have something worthwhile that they're keeping hidden?
I think most of what secret societies know is out there, if you can find it, if you can read up on it. Certainly in my book, I publish all the rituals of the Illuminati, so what they actually trained, how they trained people and taught people and their kind of philosophy. It's all pretty much out there. And I think a lot of the heretical stuff in recent years has come out, the kind of questioning religion and questioning the historical accuracy. It's not to say that religions don't have a value, but if they make claims that are historical, that aren't true, there's evidence to the contrary. Or to widen out religions, to make them more spiritual and less based on dogma or belief. I think it's all pretty much in the public domain now. And certainly, Amok, the Rosicrucian groups, they're modern. They're not the original Rosicrucians. They do have libraries with the original publications, some very early and interesting publications. But they're kind of teaching self-development courses, which is it's up to people if you want to go down that route. But they're not a continuation of the real Rosicrucian order, I don't think.
Robert, what do you think of the Vatican Bank?
Wow. It's the only one of the few banks in the world that doesn't have any outside inspection at all, which means it could be completely corrupt, full of mafia money, full of illegal money. And nobody knows. And it's probably, the Vatican is probably bankrupt, but it's just running on gas, basically, running on fumes, because the Vatican Bank, it's known to be, and there's been leaks from it that it's an embed of fraud.
Really? They own so much property. Wow, so much.
Yes, largest landowner in the world. That don't give money to churches. You know, God doesn't need any money. People shouldn't give money to religion. They're not. There's nothing Christ-like about being rich. It's the complete opposite. You know, Christ was had humility and was poor.
poor and gave all his money to people poorer than himself. So if you come across anyone who's religious who claims, you know, you need to give them money, then just walk away, because that's not religion.
Tommy in North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Tommy, go ahead.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Tom. Thank you.
tried to get through the other night, but for some reason it was time to go. But anyways, wanted to ask you guys if you had seen Hillary's America and what your thoughts on that was. I saw it. I think that it's, to me, it seems true. I mean, I've always believed, you know, there was corruptness in government and other things in other areas for a long time. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Have you had a chance to see any films, documentaries, Robert?
I've not been watching documentaries, but of the research I've done, yeah. It's funny, I came across...
They're very good. Yeah. They're well done.
Yeah, I should watch them, but I kind of had enough background research. I came across somebody many years ago who was linked to the CIA when Bill Clinton was in power, and they said to me, it's not Bill you've got to worry about, it's his wife. She's terrifying. And that was before she was even in power.
That is amazing.
So I kind of stayed with that, and I kept an eye on her. But, yeah, I think the level of corruption, I think there is a lot of evidence that these are corrupt people. But what's your choice? You know, where are you going to go?
Well, that's the issue. Can you write in none of the above? Go Libertarian, go Green Party, who knows? But
yeah.
I think there's a distinct possibility that we may not have the electoral college votes, enough of them, for one of those two being the president. It's going to have to go. It's going to go to Congress, and they're going to pick.
Yeah, I mean, just all go green. It can't do any harm. It can only improve sustainability of the planet if you go green. It'll cut down on the number of wars and the amount of money you spend on the military.
See, I just want to know what these New World Order folks are doing right now. I mean, I bet they're scrambling.
Yeah, they're fighting people on the internet. They're creating laws to arrest and lock away people like Edward Snowden and the anonymous people, which is really terrible.
Frustrating. Joe, truck driving in South Dakota. Hey, Joe, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Thank you. You mentioned the Illuminati originally was trying to get people in government that actually serve the people. Is there a group that still does that today, or...?
That's the problem. People say, are the Illuminati in that form still going? And I don't see any evidence for it. It's very hard to see how anyone's got any good influence. You know, you get a few politicians that appear quite good, or certainly better than those around them, and you can kind of see them. But they're on their own. You know, there's no, other than out of the kind of conspiracy theory groups. I mean, I like groups like Anonymous because they look at things that they see as wrong, and they try and help, and they try and act on it. So if they see a government suppressing its people, they'll try and help those and support those people. And they supported a lot of the Arab Spring uprisings and things like that. In terms, that's why in my book I see the Anonymous and WikiLeaks as a continuation of that counterculture. But you have to look, you have to find it online in communities and groups like that. There is a move away from some things. You know, digital currencies trying to take power away from the banks. That's quite interesting. But there's no big organization I'm not seeing. Maybe we should create one.
Any predictions on what's going to happen in the election?
I think Hillary will get in.
Okay. I've had many experts say that, too.
I think the thing with Trump was I think Congress would have blocked everything he tried to do, so he would have ended up being harmless. And most of the damage he would have done would have stayed within the U.S., whereas Hillary's got far more potential to do a lot of damage worldwide.
Yeah, interesting. And I don't think Putin likes her at all, and God knows what will happen there. Russia's starting to flex its muscles, and what was this about North Korea threatening England? Did you hear about that?
We're not really worried about North Korea.
Oh, that guy's a whack job, though, Robert, you know, and he's got nukes.
I don't really fear North Korea.
You're not concerned about that guy. I think he's a dangerous idiot.
Them up to be something incredible when in fact they're, you know, pretty much a third world country. I don't see them having the resources or the technology to do anything to anybody. I mean, they might, they do this showing off thing, but if they ever became a real threat, surely they wouldn't stand up in a fight at all.
Robert, do you take emails through your website?
Yes, I can do.
You get messages and stuff?
You can find me on Facebook, on R.D. Howells on Facebook. You can certainly contact me through Facebook.
Okay, that's good. And your books are out there all over the place. And keep in touch with us. I'd like you to be our source for the Illuminati whenever those kinds of stories are breaking. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. It was good to have you on the program. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and thank you to your listeners, and especially those that called in. And the ex-serviceman, John, is really thank you for calling in.
Best listeners in talk radio in the world, right here on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.